It's 4:06 and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll learn how art played a big role in activism at the recent Paris Climate Summit.
First, in the wake of the huge public response to the Netflix docuseries called Making a Murderer, two petitions are currently in the works with the aim of helping to get Stephen Avery pardoned.
Avery was convicted of murdering photographer Teresa Halbach in 2005. He's currently serving a life sentence. The documentary, told from the point of view of Avery's defense, points to what they see as holes in the case. Others involved in the case, though, have said that not all the evidence pointing to Avery was included in the series.
The petitions have hundreds of thousands of signatures online, but when it comes to pardoning, Governor Scott Walker has repeatedly said he will not issue any pardons during his time in office, saying he doesn't want to undermine the criminal justice system, which already has a mechanism for dealing with a change in sentence, he says.
Regardless of the merits in Avery's case, Walker's stance makes him unique among governors in the country. Earlier this week, we asked Governor Walker to join us on the show to talk about his stance, but he was unable to join us. In an interview on WTMJ in Milwaukee, the governor had this to say.
A pardon shouldn't be based on a TV show. A discussion about this should be based on evidence.
Joining us now is P.S. Ruckman Jr. He's a professor of political science at Rock Valley College in Illinois, and he's the editor of the Pardon Power blog and is currently co-authoring a history of pardons. P.S. Ruckman, welcome to Central Time.
I'm glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start off by looking at the difference between a pardon and a commutation. Can you set us straight on what they are?
Well, I think that is important, especially in terms of kind of understanding the way Mr. Walker has talked about the topic and how misleading it is. A pardon simply restores rights. Most pardons, as in 99%+, are granted people who committed minor offenses, nonviolent, years ago, usually many times decades ago. And they've served their time, if they ever even had any time. And they've been law-abiding citizens, and the pardon simply restores their rights. That's all it does. No one's being sprung from jail. No one's sentences are being overturned. The criminal justice system isn't being undermined, not in any sense of the language. A commutation, on the other hand, simply reduces the severity of a sentence. So reducing a death sentence to life in prison or life in prison without the possibility of parole to life with the possibility of parole or reducing a fine. So those are critical distinctions to make at the front of this.
And what kind of rights are we talking about with a pardon?
Well, it'll vary from state to state and at the federal level as well. But typically, the baseline is usually the right to vote, serve on a jury, own a hunting rifle. And then sometimes there are things like travel restrictions involved in restoration of rights or where they're lifted. So there's a pretty good variety, but the baseline is, again, voting, serving on a jury, holding a public office is another one that occurs to me.
Well, let's check out our history a little bit here. What is the underlying philosophy behind the pardon power in the U.S. Constitution, and how does that extend to governors?
Well, the classic mistake is to kind of link it to the King of England, and of course, we don't have kings here. The clemency power is part of our constitutional framework, our system of checks and balances. And so the assumption is that the legislative branch and the judicial branch are not perfect, and I can't even imagine who would disagree with that, even Scott Walker, if asked. And so it's put in our Constitution as a check and a balance, and, of course, it's been incorporated into the states for that matter. So for a governor just to announce outright, I will pardon no one or grant no pardons, is in essence to say, you know, I refuse to perform my constitutional duty, which is very, very bizarre. There are admittedly some governors who don't pardon very much, but I don't know of any case ever where a governor just announced outright, explicitly, I'm not going to do this in any circumstance. In my mind, that's unprecedented.
And the governor has said that repeatedly in different ways, depending on when he's asked or what case he's referring to. But he has said it on the grounds that he doesn't want to undermine the criminal justice system. And here's Governor Walker responding to a question of pardons.
There are many people who don't have advocates for them. And one of the challenges I've always had is, you know, where do you draw the line on that? The bottom line is there's a lot of people in low-income situations who won't have an advocate. Is it fair for them that a couple cases get a high profile, but others who might have an even greater need and may not have an opportunity to be employed in other areas don't have that kind of attention or focus?
And that was not referring to the Stephen Avery case. He has been asked about that. But the case here being, not everyone, for example, is going to have a Netflix documentary series about their case that draws into question the prosecution there or the sentencing. And so why privilege that person over someone else who doesn't have that Netflix series? Is that sound reasoning?
Well, you know, first of all, clemency doesn't undermine the criminal justice system. It's part of the criminal justice system. And again, it's a big mistake to confuse pardons with commutations here. Pardons rarely have ever anything to do with innocence whatsoever. They simply restore rights. I think on the state webpage there for Wisconsin, I noticed almost 1,000 of them have been granted since 1977 or so. And I would be surprised if anyone listening to this program could name two of them, because our criminal justice system, we're over-incarcerated. Way too many people are being put in prison. And our laws are over-criminalized. And those are things the left and the right have been agreeing on recently. So Walker could be pardoning people by the dozens every day. There'd be no controversy. There'd be no loss of political capital to his now ill-fated presidential campaign. And people would be getting what they deserve. You know, commutations, on the other hand, they are a little more controversial, but they're part of our checks and balances system. No one, I don't think, argues people should be pardoned because there's a TV show. You know, that's a straw man. There's no one arguing that. But on the other hand, I think if you cut that down to size, in essence, what Walker is saying, I can't do justice in one case because, to be fair, that would require me to do justice in other cases. And in my humble opinion, that amounts to a very ludicrous defense. It's his job. It's the job of the governor to do justice and to exercise the clemency power. And it just doesn't impress me to hear him say, well, if I help one person, then I'll have to help other people. That doesn't strike me as a good justification for not pardoning or granting clemency. It doesn't impress me much.
We're talking right now with P.S. Ruckman, Jr., professor of political science at Rock Valley College in Illinois, and he's the editor of the Pardon Power blog. As we look at Governor Walker's decision not to grant any pardons during his tenure as governor, this has come up recently in reference to the Netflix series Making a Murderer and the case of Stephen Avery. And you've said that you think Governor Walker is behind the times on this, that in general, that pardons are on the upswing in the United States with governors, and there's more sort of bipartisan agreement about them, making them less controversial. Tell us why you think he might be behind.
I do believe that. And, you know, before we get away from it, it's worth mentioning that the pardon power is smart, if you will. It's subtle, and it's not nearly the kind of the blunt instrument that Walker seems to make it out to be. He doesn't have to, for example, pardon the people that are involved in this documentary. That's not his only option. He could commute the sentence. He could commute it to life with the possibility of parole and let a parole board study this, potentially study it for years and years. So it's not a matter of kind of, as he paints the picture, all he can do is kind of, you know, bust in the prison, open up the doors, and throw the judgment of judges and juries out the window, or do nothing. That's a false choice. There are many options there. And around the states, increasingly, I think there is a sense that the left and the right, the political left and the right, are agreeing that prisons are not working. They're overcrowded. They're ineffective. They're not rehabilitating. Those are things the left have been tuned in for a while. And now with budget concerns, the right is starting to kind of see it's costly, it's expensive, there are probably, you know, more affordable ways to do things. And again, there's a concern about laws being over-criminalized. We're not cracking down on crimes that are very vicious so much as we are making the less serious crimes more serious and punishing them more seriously. And around the states, you do see governors granting, I feel, there's a kind of a trend toward greater pardoning. One of the things we've seen in recent election cycles is people running for governor who promised to pardon, who promised to take it seriously. And you would have never seen that in the 80s. That a candidate like that would have been kind of, you know, shot down right away as, you know, being soft on crime, that type of thing. So I think that's indicative of a sea change among governors. And, of course, that's reflective of changes in public opinion.
And we leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
That was P.S. Ruckman, Jr., professor of political science at Rock Valley College in Illinois. He's the editor of the Pardon Power blog and is currently co-authoring A History of Pardons. And we were talking there about Governor Walker's decision not to grant any pardons during his tenure as governor.